Give you a little background on this book for context. It's a book of new beginnings. After 40 years in the wilderness, Israel is ready to claim their inheritance and enjoy the blessings of the land. From Exodus 3 through Deuteronomy 34, the emphasis is on Moses and his ministry. But he dies, and a new servant of the Lord is to lead the people into the promised land. Excuse me. And that is Joshua. Joshua is a man that experienced a lot of change in his life. He had a changed name. His name, given name, was Oshea, we read in Numbers chapter 13. Moses changed it to Joshua, you find in Numbers 13:6, which means Jehovah's salvation. He had a changed position. He went from being Moses' servant to Moses' successor. He had a changed land. He went from being born a slave in Egypt to leading a nation into the promised land. The life of Joshua is one of change. I wonder, how do you handle change? Do you like change? I'm not big on change. change can be difficult. But life is about change, is it not? I mean, life is all about change. In the 1960s, there were two psychiatrists that studied the effect of change on the health of a person. And what they found was when certain life events take place, and when they take place close together, we know now that stress created by these life changes can be detrimental to your health. Some of the things that they studied and determined with varying degrees of readjustment that's required on the part of a person, of course, the greatest one was the death of a spouse. I don't even want to begin to imagine that. We had a close call coming back from Colorado. Was Sandy. She had a fatally low level of sodium. But I don't want to begin to even imagine that. The stress of that and the heartache of that. Divorce is another area. Personal injury or illness, somebody that has health issues, of course, with COVID. There's a lot of people battling illness. We've had several people in our church die recently, our home church, fired at work, change in financial state, change to a different line of work, taking on a mortgage, beginning or ending school, change in living conditions, change in working hours or work responsibilities. In-law troubles, change to in church activities and social activities, in sleeping habits and eating habits, minor violations of the law like traffic tickets, that type of thing. Did I mention anything in your life in that list? I don't know where you're at in life today, but it's a guarantee that there are changes that you will face. How do we handle change scripturally? As we look at Joshua, I'd like us to look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. And I find encouragement as I've meditated upon Joshua. As you put yourself in his sandals and you find that here this leader dies, Moses, and now he's responsible for over 600,000 men above the age of 20 to lead them, probably several million in total of men, women, and children into the promised land. And we read in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee," the Lord says, "have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Why do you think the Lord put in there, "Be not afraid, be not dismayed"? Joshua was probably afraid and overwhelmed. Amen. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the responsibility that was looking at him, that he now had to lead this people? And whether it's a change in job, like you see here, or something in your life that you were not expecting, that hits you out of the blue, and you are feeling overwhelmed and dismayed, how do we handle that? How do we handle the call when it's cancer? My goodness. I don't want to start filling in the blanks. Your life, how do you handle those moments? I think from this verse and study of Joshua, there are three things that we can consider how to deal with change. Number one, how to deal with change. Praise God because He is unchanging. Praise God because He is unchanging. Our tendency in stress, I believe, is to turn inward, right? Almost we feel overwhelmed and stooped down by the weight of stress, of difficulty, of challenges that we face. But the Lord is reminding Joshua here, have not I commanded thee? Listen, Joshua is afraid. He's feeling overwhelmed. And the Lord starts by reminding him who He is. It's I that is commanding you, Joshua. The Lord thy God, he says at the end of that verse. If you look in Psalm chapter 61, just hold your hand in Joshua if you would, and go to Psalm 61. We see David. Again, how do we handle change? The first thing I'd like us to consider is praising God in the midst of change. We'll get into how we can do that. But Psalm 61, listen to David as he cries out, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. You ever pray something like that? Lord, are you listening? I can barely keep my head above water. Are you listening? Do you hear me? Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart, listen to David, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah, verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. How do we get there? Because it's one thing for me to say, okay, the first thought I like us to consider is praise God in the midst of change. Amen. Sounds like a good thing. But in your life, that's easier said than done. Right? How do we get to this place of David? How do we get to the place of Job? If you look at Job's life, Job chapter 1, you know, he had livestock stolen. He had livestock destroyed. His children were all killed in an instant. And we find Job 1:20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. How do we get there? Well, I believe, and we won't because of time, but if you look, if you make note of Hebrews chapter 6, I believe there's two things that help us with this mindset, with this heart attitude, to be able to praise God even in the midst of change. All right? Hebrews 6:18, the writer says, two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. He says, okay, there's two things that are unchangeable in which it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation. His nature and His promises. His nature and His promises. If you read the context of that chapter, those are those two immutable things that the writer of Hebrews is discussing. That gives us comfort, that gives us consolation, in the midst of our heartache, when we're feeling overwhelmed, the fact that God is unchangeable in His nature and unchangeable in His promises. In fact, the main thought that I'd like us to consider tonight, the title, if you will, is an unchanging God in the midst of changing circumstances. That our heart would grab a hold of that, that there is an unchanging God. We serve and worship an unchanging God no matter what changes we face in life. Now, let's consider those two things for a minute and how that evokes praise from us. That He is unchanging in His nature and He's unchanging in His promises. Think about His nature for a minute. If you think, not a perfect illustration, but if you think about one of those big Conestoga wagon wheels, you know, and you have like the hub, and then you have all of the spokes coming out, going around. If you think about each one of those spokes like an attribute of God, okay? God is eternal. God is a spirit. God is omnipresent. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is wise. God is love. God is just. God is patient. God is merciful. On and on, different attributes of God. They meet at that hub of God's immutability. The fact that God does not change. Because if His wisdom could be obscured or become more profound, if His holiness could be tainted or become more pure, if His goodness could be corrupted or more good, if His knowledge could be diminished or more broad, then God would not be God. If God changed in any aspect of His nature, He would no longer be God. Because change is from either something that's already good to something that's worse, or something that needs improved upon that needs to go this direction. But in God, all of His nature is perfect. He's not like a pagan God that acts arbitrarily or capriciously. He's not like a chameleon that changes based upon who he's dealing with. I am so thankful. Why is this the first point? Why can we praise God? Why does He tell Joshua, I, the Lord thy God, am commanding you. Why is He saying that? Because nothing sneaks up on God. Nothing surprises God. Aren't you glad that in the midst of your change, we can trust a God that is unchanging? That we have someone that's steadfast. That we have someone that we can trust in the midst of our storms as an anchor. He's unchanging in His nature and He's unchanging in His promises. That's another source of comfort. I think about the many promises of the Lord. And one that comes to mind is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Aren't you thankful that promise is in this book? Because the devil wants to whisper in your ear, you think you can serve God after that? You think you can be used of God after that? You think you can... He wants to accuse you. He wants to get you feeling defeated. He wants to ruin your relationships with the Lord, within your home, within this body of this church, within your community. When we have a sure word of promise. That's just one of how many thousands of promises that we have in this book. So when we are facing those difficulties of life, when we are facing those trials of life, even though it goes beyond our reason, we can praise God even in the most dire of circumstances because we have someone, we serve someone that is unchangeable in the core of who He is and what He has promised us He will do. Amen? And that is a source of comfort. So number one, in the midst of change, praise God. And number two, how do we deal with change? Not only do we praise God, but we trust God because He's unchangeable. Now, we kind of place people on a spectrum of trust, do we not? Now, I might trust somebody to carry out my display to the car, but I'm not going to turn over my kids to you. Obviously, unless there's like a relationship there. There is a spectrum of trust. Now, what we tend to do is we treat God in the same way. There's a spectrum of trust, which is ironic because we trust Him with our souls, right? We put our faith and trust in Him for our souls, but then when the trials come, when the difficulties come, there's this spectrum where, what's God doing? Can I trust Him? And the Lord is saying to Joshua, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We can trust God at all times. And in every situation, we can trust God. And that's something that we should praise Him for. That Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Isaiah 41:13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand and saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. 1 Peter, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We can trust God at all times. But do we? It reminds me of a fable. There was this story of this this man who had a ranch, and he had this prized stallion that hopped the fence and ran away. And his neighbor comes up and he says, oh, that's bad luck. The rancher says, bad luck, good luck, I don't know. About 2 weeks later, that horse comes back home leading 20 wild horses with him. Runs into the corral, closes the gate behind him. Neighbor comes by and says, wow, can you believe your good luck? Rancher says, good luck, bad luck, I don't know. His son starts to break one of those wild horses and it kicks him in the leg and breaks his son's leg. Bad luck? Well, about that time, there was a band of outlaws that were going through the community, and they were grabbing every able-bodied young man and making them join them in their life of crime and terror. They couldn't take this young man because he had a broken leg. Good luck. I don't know why things happen. Sometimes we find ourselves on that trough. You know, we find ourselves in the valley and we say, what in the world? God has forgotten me. Can I trust Him? Bad luck. When we're on the mountaintop and everything's going well. Praise God, we can trust Him here. I can't see the end from the beginning, but God can. So no matter where you find yourself, where you look at it and say, what good can possibly come of this? Do you trust Him? Where are you on that spectrum of trust with the Lord? Trust Him. We are living lives filled with change. How do we handle that change? How we deal with change? Number one, praise God. Number two, trust God. And the last thing, choose God. Because He's unchanging. Look in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua 24 and verse 15. Famous passage. A lot of people try to build their lives with temporal things. If I only had this amount of money, my life would be changed for the better. If I could only get in with this crowd, my life would be changed for the better. If I could only have this job, if I could only, it's all building on sand. The only thing that doesn't change is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have a choice. We have a choice in the midst of change, whether it will change us for the better or for the worse. I was at a church recently and I saw in their bulletin, if I remember correctly, the pastor in this cartoon says, "Who likes change?" Now, some change is good, right? Who likes change? And everybody raised their hand. And then the next panel in the cartoon says, "Now, who wants to change?" And everybody's silent, right? So, in the midst of change in our lives, we can praise God, we can trust God. Will we allow it to change us for God and allow Him to accomplish in our life what He means to accomplish? We have that choice of the attitude that we have. We're not robots. Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." And then he lists, you know, the gods of the Amorites, etc. And then he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I don't want to minimize anything you might be going through in your life. Because it's something. It's always bothered me when we can share with somebody something that's breaking us, right? And the other person has a million things going on in their life. And they genuinely might say, you know, "I'm praying for you," whatever. But then life carries them on. And they might completely forget. And you're left alone and you're thinking, no one cares. No one remembers. It's just me. God knows where you're at. He sees you. He wants to take that event in your life, whatever you're going through, He wants you to praise Him. He wants you to trust Him. And He wants you to allow it to change you for the better to accomplish what His plan is for your life. Amen. And that happens with a change of our attitudes in we choosing to follow the Lord. Now, the best change that you can ever make, and I know this is a Wednesday night crowd, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. The best change you can make is to pass from death to life. Salvation. To realize that you're a sinner, alienated from the life of God, that your sin nature separates you from a holy God. And the only way to change that is to receive Christ as your Savior. So He gives you a new nature. And you have that connection with God, that eternal life. Through your acknowledgement that you're a sinner, that it grieves God, and that you are trusting Him to save you from the penalty of your sin, which is hell, and trusting what Jesus Christ did for you. That is the absolute best change you can make. And from there, it is a daily, daily, daily fight that the Lord enables us to change, to be transformed into the image of His Son as He allows these troughs and highs of our life to conform us to Christ. Amen? How will we handle these changes? Praising God, trusting God, choosing God. That's what He desires today.